Welcome to the Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from our brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are in the Tri-Town Advice Givers studio in St. John, Indiana, with John Zaboyan of Americans Against All Distracted Driving. Good morning, John. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit about a subject that I did not start to save the humanity, but I just started to make sure that I will keep myself and not to get into an accident and wind up in a hospital. I had that experience a number of years ago, and I do not want that to happen again to me.
Whenever I start, I always ask for my guests to tell me a little bit about you, away from the Americans Against Distracted Driving, but just a little bit about you to start off.
Well, I came to America as a student a number of years ago, and I hate to tell you how many. It was over a half a century ago. And I wound up in Miami, and I came to America to become a commercial pilot and go back to Middle East. Okay. That's where I came from. I am Armenian, and my parents left Turkey, went to Syria, and I was born there. And eventually, when I was about 6-7 years old, we immigrated to Lebanon. And by about 16 or 17, I decided, well, there's a little bit more to life than living in Beirut. And I thought, okay, the only way to see the world is maybe I can become a commercial pilot. And where would I go in order to get a commercial pilot license? United States.
Okay.
And I wound up in Miami. And there was a school called Embry-Riddle Aviation Institute. They are in Tampa, I believe, right now. But at that time, they were in Miami. So unfortunately, during my first few months during the training, I had a collision in the air with another airplane. And we crashed. I was alone in my plane, in my training plane, and there were two in the other one. Unfortunately, they died instantly. And I was injured badly and wound up in the hospital for a number of months, had a cast from my neck all the way down to my pelvis. I broke my back and everything else that was possible. And it took me a while to recover. But sometimes I think I'm the original Forrest Gump. Once I start walking, I realized that how important to me was being able to take care of myself, move. So I started running, exercising, and I haven't stopped since then.
Wow. That's impressive. So it was a mid-air collision and you survived.
I survived with, again, very badly injured.
Yeah.
But I came through. I don't want to deviate from our conversation right now, but I lived all my life with two words. One is reality. I wake up in the morning. If there is whatever the reality is, if it's cold outside, I put a jacket before I go out. Instead of saying, well, if I was in Miami, I would not have to put a jacket on. So whatever the reality in life, whatever it came to me, I did what I needed to do that day in order to survive. I think that goes back into where I came from, to be honest, where we woke up every morning, life was only that day. We did not have a future to look without, you know, that was life in Middle East when I was growing up. And I think that kind of carried and became a cool thing in my life. So reality is what I live with. Whatever it is, I'll look at it, accept it, and do something and go forward. And if I can do something about it, cool. If I cannot, I still go forward. And the other thing is confronting. I love the word confront, which I have lived all my life with the word confronting. If you negotiate with yourself, chances are that you might give it up halfway. One day we were talking about it, and somebody says, how do you define confront? I said, well, imagine if you're in the middle of Africa, and all of a sudden there's a lion coming towards you, and you're sitting there, and you're going, oh, man, what the hell do I do now? Let me sit down and see if I can negotiate with this guy. Let me give my arm. Okay. Lion, here's my arm and eat that and then let the rest of the body. Lion is going to go, come on, man. I need the whole thing. So what do? I confront the lion. Either I live or I die. So there's no negotiation. So I have never negotiated in my life. Whatever I do, I confront myself to do my best, be my best, and then go and negotiate with the world.
I love it. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it's been a good life. I love America. I mean, it's been a good half a century life in America, being quite successful, working hard, my body and my mind, and America gives you every opportunity to do that. And I took advantage of it. I have become an American citizen number of years ago and did my best to be the best of an American citizen can be.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's a great story right there. Let's jump into Americans Against All Distracted Driving. Why don't you kind of tell me when you launched this and kind of what was that spark that made you want to do this?
Well, whenever the conversation comes up, I think we all know that anything that somebody starts, it always starts from an aha moment. If your child is hazing and dies in a university, all of a sudden you become an advocate for that. If you lose your sister to a cancer, you become an advocate for that. So we live in a bubble until it happens to us. My aha moment, I guess, happened about 50 years ago. And all my life has been an aha moment. I get up in the morning and live my life to the fullest possible. I kept running for the last 35, 40 years. About 10 years ago, I kept pounding the streets every single morning. I love running because I like my legs, because once upon a time they did not work and now they work and I'm going to use them. So after pounding the roads for about 40 years, I had a couple of knee operations. Then I could not run anymore. So I went into the gym. I hated gyms, to be honest, because it's always inside. I like outdoors. So I started using an elliptical machine. And all of a sudden, I realized that, wow, this is cool, man. And now I can really confront myself to go 35 minutes tomorrow. And then the next day, I come back and say, I want to do 36 and 37 and 38 and so forth. So one day, a gentleman came over and he said, you know what? You're really punishing that machine. A couple of times, kids came over and they go, hey, man, what kind of a crack are you on? I mean, the way I used to exercise, I did not know I was making such an impact on other people. So I have a video which I did about 3-4 years ago to raise money for, actually to earn money for, I called it American Kids Feeding American Kids, called ACFAC. I made a video and I thought it was great. It was 2.5 hour elliptical exercise. And I do have the video and I can share it with you guys. And after that, the elliptical became a little bit difficult for me. So I started doing the Stairmaster. And as I was doing the Stairmaster, one day somebody comes over and goes, are you kidding me? He goes, you're on that machine for 139 minutes and you've got like 5 pound weights in your hand at the same time. Usually people do 20 minutes and they hold the sidebars. And here I've got 5 pounds in my hand. He goes, I think it's beyond remarkable. So I figure, oh, maybe I can use this to talk about something that pretty close to my heart. And that was when I see people driving while being distracted on the streets. And to me, it was not that visual at that moment. So anyway, I figured, okay, so if I do this and I would narrate, I would edit it to a shorter version, put it on the YouTube and go, yay, and then go from there. And I figure everybody will go to it and we'll go from there. Anyway, so there was no American Against Distracted Driving. There was no Students Against Distracted Driving. There was absolutely nothing. I thought, I'll make a video. At the end of the video, I told people, why don't you pledge yourself not to be a distracted driver? And at the end of the video, actually, you could click and you go into 6 different organizations. They're all organizations throughout the nation. No Kids Hungry, Feeding America, United Ways, and so forth. And give them $5.01, and they will be your witness. So this way, we can earn money for organizations, and you pledge yourself not to do it. And then every time you get into your car, you go, you know what? I cannot be a distracted driver because I just pledged and sent $5.01 to one of the organizations. So I cannot be a, there's a word for that. I cannot think of it right now. Anyway, the word is like, I don't want to go back on my words.
Okay.
And I wanted to have that. I took the video and I went to Lake County Sheriff's office and I go, hey guys, I want to see the sheriff. And the lady up front says, okay, but of course. And she said, what do you have? I said, I just want to talk to him about the safety on the roads. What is the government doing? What's happening? And so forth. And she said, okay. So I had a meeting with the sheriff and I said, this is the video I have and it's on the YouTube. And he looked at it. He goes, this is good. And I said, oh, by the way, you think this is good? I started a website. And he goes, okay, when you finish the website, come back. And of course, I would like to endorse this. And I went outside and I go, what did you say that to him? Because you don't even have a website. You don't even have a concept. You don't have nothing. So once I opened my big mouth, which I have always done in my life, then I went and started working on a website. Then I went to Sherryville, the police department, and I said to the lady, I would like to see the chief. And his name is David Dowling. And I went inside and sat across from him, and I'm shivering. I have never seen a police chief in my entire life. I have never had anything to do with police department. And I showed him my card. It said, no distracted driving, no texting while driving. And he goes, this is great, John. I would love to endorse it. I said, well, I just saw the sheriff a few weeks ago, and then I'm working on a website. He said, when you finish the website. So all of a sudden, I go, what kind of a website do I come up with? What would I put the name for it? My wife has a nephew. At that time, he was a senior at Andrean, and he was the quarterback for the senior. It was last year. And I said, hey, Patrick, I'd like to talk to you about it. I'd like to talk to you. And he goes, okay, Uncle John. Actually, they call me Jay-Z. And he said, Jay-Z, of course. So we sat down and I said, by the way, do you text while you're driving? He goes, no. I said, well, you just get into the car and just drive. He had just gotten his driver's license. And he said, no, I don't. I go, I said, do you have any friends that behave like you? He goes, absolutely. I said, okay. Then I'm going to come up with a platform. So if you would like to help me and talk to your friends and so forth, he goes, of course. And I go, okay, students against all distracted driving. He goes, yeah, I'm completely conscious. I don't do anything else. I just want to go from one place to the other. So that's how we came up with students against distracted driving. From the day until today, from the inception of the day that I came up with that little card and walked into a sheriff's office and talk to everybody else. Meantime, I went and tried to see some of our senators, representative from in this district at the U.S. Congress. I was not too successful, to be honest. They kind of looked at me like, okay, whatever. And I don't want to get involved in that. Those are the negatives. But the positives were incredible. It just came in bunches. So I put the Students Against Distracted Driving. We put my 76-second video on it. As a matter of fact, if you go to SAADD, Students Against All Distracted Driving, you will see my 76-second video, which was edited from 1 hour and 39 minutes. I climbed, 260 floor, I think, in 139 minutes with 7.5 pounds. I was really proud of myself when I came down.
Yeah.
You know, I was proud.
I don't think I could do that right now.
I don't think not too many people can to be honest.
Right.
And I'm so freaking proud of myself. Anyway, so I created the Students Against Distracted Driving, and immediately I put the six organizations on the website. So I said to people, please pledge that you're not going to be a distracted driver, and then click this button. There were only three buttons on the main page or homepage. They will take you directly to the organizations. And if you click on that, it will open their direct donate page.
Okay.
So there's nobody in between. There's nobody. You click here, you pledge to this organization, that you would like to give $5.01. They will be your witness. And all of a sudden, when you get into your car, you go, whoa, white man, you know, see, I'm repeating myself, but it comes back.
That's all right. That's all right.
So that went through many, many different changes. Then Christmas came over, which is this is happening in 2016. And Christmas came in and 2017 came around. And I got the endorsements from the sheriff's office as well as Chief Dowling. And I took those papers and I went to Crown Point High School. And I said, hey, guys, I need some help. And then the vice principal, I wish I can remember his name. He was such a cool man, or he's a cool man. He's still there. And he goes, John, this is great. What do you want us to do? And I said, I would like for the students to get involved. And then they came out with a week. As a matter of fact, it snowed and blah, blah, blah. So finally, last February, they came out with a week there where they were all against distracted driving. I went to the school. We took a lot of pictures. And then, but meantime, what happened was, what a cool company. Kia Motors at Highland. Highland Kia Motors on Indianapolis Boulevard. The gentleman saw it. He said, you know, this is a great thing. He said, can we spend some money and make some decals? We can put it on the windows. When people come in, we can show them. As a matter of fact, even if you go now, today, there's a huge 8 feet by 10 feet banner.
Okay.
And it's hanging in their showroom. So it says Students Against Distracted Driving. So they made the decals. And then I go, well, that decal kind of looks big. So we made a smaller one. Eventually, I wish I could show it to you, but if you go on SAAD.org or SAAD.org and click on decals, you would see how many companies, including the sheriff's office as well as the Sherrville Township, we made a 3x3 decals, which is not have to stick it into your window, but it just goes on it. It's a
static.
It's a static decal. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I should have finished kindergarten. So it's a static decal. So you can take it off and put it on. And the sheriff's township printed a couple of times. They put it on their scout cars. Mm. And it just, and then all of a sudden there was a write-up in March in the Post Tribune.
Okay.
Yeah, Post Tribune and the front page. I can send you the link on that, or the link is on our Facebook as well. And the front page, and I'm holding the decal, and they talked about. And at the end, the writer said, if you want some decals, why don't you call John or write to him? Next week, 1,700. I go, I'm not a distributor center. So I paid 48 cents or 49 cents, whatever it is, and I sent it to everybody. And I'm serious. I'm not being facetious. I think God was on vacation when I was being born. I do not have any talents, but I have imagination. And my imagination actually goes step by step by step. I have never woke up in the morning and created anything, but I have created many, many things. And all those things came, some of them took 10 years, but they just festered in my head. And all of a sudden I go, okay, looks like a decal, which we call it a reminder decal. And this started happening in my head is the fact that, okay, also at the same time, whenever I say to some people, look, you know, we have a website called Students Against All Distracted Driving, and the grown-ups, idiots like me, who go, well, of course they should have a website because, you know, they create all the accidents and so on. I go, no, man, come on. They're the messenger of a message that they're worried about their life. They would like to be around for a little bit and, you know, people that are being distracted, they're killing them. As well as they are aware of the fact that some of their peers are not as good as some of them. Right. So therefore, the blame is everywhere and not mm-hmm. one place. And the government agencies tells us that 24% this, 22% this, and so forth and so forth and so on. So anyway, this is how it started evolving. And then I said, okay, let's come up with, forget the students then. How about, because a lot of other grown-ups said, well, we would like to be part of this. And I said, okay, then I'll come up with Americans Against All Distracted Driving. And I came up with AAAD. Now, unfortunately, all of this time, I still have work to do, my personal life, my personal businesses, and I'm chasing this at the same time. So I created AAAD, and I realized that the reminder decal is the answer. And it just because everybody gravitated towards that, that means that if we put it at the corner of our windshield, every time we get into the car, that will remind us that we should not be a distracted driver. So I spent the money, made the decals for six organizations, and I do have them with me, and they're all the same ones that I had it before, the No Kids Hungry and so forth. I sent them the actual decals and wrote to them, and I said, hey guys, here is the website. It's very simple. People will look at it, and then they'll go on organizations. They'll click on that. The page will open. There will be six organizations. They will click on any one of the organizations that they decide, and then it will open your direct page, and then they will give $5.01. Now, if they send you $5.01, that means that they have to put their name, address, and phone number, and then in turn, you turn around and send them your decal.
Okay.
The decal that I have created, which I have it with me, and every one of them said, John, this is the greatest idea, but if we raise $1 or $2 million, to be honest, it's not that much of a money for an organization that raises $600-$800 million a year. So why don't you do it locally, come up with that concept and make it complete, and then come back to us. So this is what I'm looking around right now to find a voice and then a cause. And the cause, I'm looking for an organization in Northwest Indiana area that we can use their name, then we can put their decal on our website, our website is very simple, actually. But until then, look what happened Sunday. There were 2, 3, 4, 5 million people walking on the streets talking about gun control. And I said, without even that happen, a few months ago when I was putting the American Against All Distracted Driving, I go, why don't I come up with a digital crowds? So we created 6 to 8 to 10 second videos. And actually, when you go on ad, you would see that it started from the kids from Crown Point High School. They put their hands on the cell phone. They said, I swear on my cell phone, I will never be a distracted driver. Everybody laughed. It was so cool. So I thought, okay, let's do that way. Let's pledge that I will never be a distracted driver. And then if you have a video, you can send it to us. It will be on our website. Everybody can see it. We'll send you a decal. And this way, you would tell everybody in the nation that you are that person that pledged not to be a distracted driver. And distracted driving, by the way, I just saw this. I don't want to deviate from what happened, but all of a sudden, yesterday, you know, whenever I had an opportunity to talk to somebody, I would talk to them about what I saw yesterday, day before yesterday, day before yesterday, because I was always on the computer to see what organizations were saying, doing. And there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of government organizations trying to tell us that you don't do this, don't do that. And if you do this, it will happen and so forth and so on. All of a sudden, I do not know why. I was looking at some of my magazines that I have not had a chance to look at them. And I saw the January of Reader's Digest. And it says, a study by National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. By the way, this administration is a government administration, NHTSA. They have an average budget of $900 million. I think $1,000 million is about $1 billion, right?
That's
pretty
right.
Close.
Yeah.
I wonder whose money is that budget? Anyway, you know what I'm trying to say. So, and the average pay is $114,000. So people that are working there are not dummies. They know what they're doing. And this is exactly, those are the words. It said National Highway Traffic Safety Administration found, not estimated, but found that distracted driving, which includes everything, causes 80% of the crashes.
Wow.
I go, John, you know that 40,000, as a matter of fact, it's on our website, it says, you know, there are 40,000 people that die every year. But those are just numbers. And none of us really sit down and eat and drink and digest those numbers. And since yesterday, to be honest, all of a sudden, I feel so helpless or hopeless that who am I to come up with this idea? The fact that if there are 40,000 Americans die a year on the highways, if 80% is caused by distracted drivers, help me here. I don't know much about math, but 80% of 40,000 is about 32,000. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
Yeah.
32,000. 32,000 people are dead a year because people did not pay attention to when they were driving. And I figure, well, maybe half of those deaths are the people that are causing the accident. So that means half of 32 is about 16-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So 16,000 innocent Americans die every year because some narcissistic, destructive, multitasking person feels that they can drive and do anything else that they want on the same freaking highways that belongs to me and to you.
Yeah.
So those are the numbers. After I came up with those numbers, I go, no, John, I think you have to be wrong, because if that's the case, NHTSA with $900 million, almost $1 billion, with 600-700 employees, $114,000 a year average, they cannot come up with this idea. You, with no education, you just can't. I mean, who are you to come up with this? It is an incredible number. And how does the government, how does anybody tolerate this? 16,000 innocent Americans, innocent. You know what that translates to? 16,000 into families, people that will never be another mother or a wife or an aunt or father or a child, or all those are gone. Mm-hmm. And then when I get absolutely enraged when somebody says, well, this person lost his life, this person lost their life. You don't lose a life, man. You die and go away. You lose a car key, you lose a car, you lose a pair of shoes, you lose some money, but you don't lose a life. No, you die. You go away. You never exist again. And we don't have the right to do that. And we let 16,000 people being murdered by people. And you know what? There's absolutely no punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I saw yesterday. And I take about a moment. This was in the local newspaper. It said, Northwest Indiana dentist is accused of the death of a woman inside an ambulance by allegedly struck head-on near La Crosse while he was intoxicated. So a 46-year-old woman died. There are two attendants in the ambulance that got hurt. And I did not want to Google because and find out what level 4 felony and level 5 felony that he was charged with. And if I Google that, probably I'll have about 15 attorneys calling me thinking that I've got some kind of a felony. So I'd like for somebody to tell me, what is a 5-level felony? He killed one person, so he knows he's intoxicated, he knows he's drunk, and he still gets into the car. And he now, this woman died, two other people are injured, and after the felony, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, five, whatever it is, probably it's not even that much, and he's going to come back and drive and eat and drink and live life, and that woman is gone. And what we do is we go in and put little flowers and some balloons. And I don't want anybody to put a balloon and flower where the accident happened, where I was killed. I don't want anybody to be my voice. I want to be my own voice. Just like the kids Sunday, they eventually said, okay, I do not want to be the voice of my friends. I want to be my own voice. It was so, I thought, okay, this is so distinct. Exactly. They're saying, I don't want anybody to be my voice. I want to be. So I don't want to die. I want to be around and be my own voice. So if I can take 2 minutes and read you some notes that I made yesterday, sure. Do you mind?
No, that's fine.
This is the perspective of a foreigner coming to America. And this is what I see. In the United States, it's a law-abiding country and much more than any other country. And Americans have more rights to exercise their freedom than any other country. However, Americans are not born with all the freedom at birth. Some of them come in time. And as we grow older, some of those freedoms we enjoy automatically. And here's an example. For instance, at 18th birthday, an American gets the right to vote. Am I correct?
Correct.
Automatically. Can have a consensual relationship. I don't know what that means, but I thought it's a big word. Can get married without a parental consent. Buy cigarettes, and depending on state, maybe 18 or 21, a person can go to a bar, buy liquor, and even buy a gun without any extra effort or special permission from the government. Am I correct?
Correct.
Absolutely. Yep. Those come automatically. They all come with just passing of time. No signed agreement with the government, no tests to take, no licenses to get, no proof of ability to demonstrate if you can do any of those. Automatically, you get it. In other countries, you don't. But anyway, this is America. Also in time, Americans get the right to drive. However, this is where everything starts. However, this right is not granted automatically, nor given by the American government to any American citizen automatically. The right to drive is earned by every American citizen without any exception. And to earn the right to drive, an American resident has to study and pass a written test, take lessons how to drive, and take a driving test and pass by following all the exact driving rules. Simple. Then basically sign it, telling the government that, yes, I will obey all the rules without any exception during all my driving years. Then the government says, as long as you profess to obey all the driving rules exactly like the ones you just demonstrated to the government's driver inspector, then with this driving license, we give you permission to drive and share American roads with every other American. Actually, they're American roads, and you can share it with every other American driver who has demonstrated their knowledge and agreement just like you did today. Otherwise, there are exact set of rules that you obey, you sign, and then you get your driver's license. So actions by the government and your signature creates a contract between you and the government. It's a contract. Yeah. I drive like this, and I go, okay, here's your license. And in the law-abiding American, any deviation from any agreement will be considered breach of contract. So the guy that just killed the person, the dentist, he deviated completely, and he's not going to be charged as a breach of contract. A breach of contract, it's all over. it's nullified. Here, he will keep his driver's license, or maybe his insurance will go up a little bit, and then 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later, 5 years later, eventually he goes back to driving. So let me give you an for instance, Mark. If the American government calls you and says one day, hey, Mark, we know you are a very good driver. No tickets, no violations, and no deviations from any driving laws. However, with the booming economy in Northwest Indiana, more cars are being sold in our area. And to alleviate some of the congestion in your city, we are going to suspend your driving rights for a while until we can get a bipartisan Congress to come up with a solution. But don't hold your breath. Now, if that's what happens, if the government calls you and says that to you, now you can take the government, it's a breach of contract with the government, by the government. So you can take them all the way to the Supreme Court and get your driver's license. However, tens of millions of American drivers who signed and agreed to abide with all the driving rules deviate as far as possible from driving rules they agreed on, and collectively, Mark, they kill 20, 30, 40,000 and injure more than a million mostly innocent American years on our own American roads, the roads that belong to me, to you, and every law-abiding American citizen, which includes me as well. And this is when I will take my voice heard. It is not my business, and to be honest, I really don't care to tell anybody how to live their life. For you to be a good worker or exercise, not eat fast food, be a good student, honor your parents, vote, be a good neighbor, blah, blah, blah. But I demand that you drive the way you drove the day you took your driver's test. As a matter of fact, I'll deviate a little bit from my notes. I went and talked to a couple of those inspectors, and I said, by the way, what happens if I come in one day, I want to take a test, and I've got a cup of coffee in my hand and a little sandwich under my arm and my telephone in my hand, and I walk into the car and I want to take a test? He goes, he used a couple of words. I cannot say it right now. He goes, are you kidding me? He said, you will not even get into the car. But I said, okay, the test that you give, it's so sanitized. So the person is going to go, I said, has anybody come and taken a test while they were drunk? He said, no. Anybody that were sleepy? He said, no. I said, did anybody walk into the car with even BO on them? You know, they took a shower, they put their best clothing on, they got into the car, and every word is yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am, whatever, depending on the inspector. He said, that's exactly right. And he said, we come to the corridor, they stop, they ta-da-da-da-da. And eventually when we come back, he said, they follow the exact rules that they took the test and now they passed. So my point is, if we deviate from that, how can we tolerate? So that's a breach of contract in my opinion.
Yeah.
So this is where, and I should have not gone all over the place and continued my note, to continue how exasperated I am. This is where your driving becomes my business, especially when I do not have the chance or the choice to avoid your endangering my life. When I came this morning, there was no highway. There was no road. It said, John, you're a driver, and you obey all the rules, and this is the road you take. And there was another road. There is no such thing. They're all American roads, right? And other people deviate from the rules, and I do not deviate, and their behavior, actually, my life depends on somebody else's behavior. That's incredible, where I do not have a choice. So there are no roads designated for intentionally distracted, and I call it intentionally distracted, because when you reach for your phone, it's an intentional distractor. When you eat something in the car, when you drink something in the car, whatever you do besides just driving, it's an intentional distracted driving. If I go back, instead of saying Americans against all distracted driving, it will be Americans against all intentionally distracted driving. The accidents are, I should say, the highway accidents or road accidents are part of the fabric of driving, no question about that. There will always be accidents. There will be rain, snow, you know, you get blinded by the sun, mm-hmm. you get a physical ailment at that moment, and there will be accidents created. But 80% of them, and that's the government is telling me with a $1 billion budget, that yes, 80% of the accidents, so 32,000 people die because those people do not follow the rules. All American licensed drivers have to drive on the same American roads. And the American roads belong to all licensed Americans who have earned the right, the privilege of driving by signing a contract with the American government and obey exactly to the rules of safe driving laid down by the American government in taking and passing the driving test. So it just boils down to the fact that if you do anything else except what you did when you were taking your driving test is illegal. It's criminal. It's not illegal, it's criminal. How can you kill somebody else? And as a matter of fact, I saw an article about a year ago, somebody sent it to me, a lady, beautiful, 36-year-old woman, mother of one or two, and married, were jogging on the streets in somewhere in Indianapolis, and this guy, of course, distracted, hits, and she dies. He was not even charged. As a matter of fact, if you and I do not have the time, I do not have the energy, I do not have, not the energy, but I do not know how to go to a court and say, tell me what happens to a person when they kill somebody. And I'm sure there is some information compiled on this subject where what is the maximum fine or what's the word, not fine,
punishment,
but punishment, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Punishment is for somebody to kill. And then we just read it. You know, he killed somebody, he injured somebody else, he was drunk, and he had a head-on collision, and level 5 felony. I would love to know what a level 5 felony is. If somebody can call in or email us, and we'll find out what is it. And then probably by the time he gets to the court, he comes out with it, he says, okay, I'm sorry, and otherwise he does not contest the charge, probably it will be much, much less.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I call intentionally distracted driving a breach of contract with the government and a premeditated crime against American drivers. So, Don, you know, when we go all the way down to the main subject is the fact that 32,000 people are dead, over a million people are injured because some people do not go along with what they told the government they will do. You know, I cannot wrap my brain around those figures, Mark. I cannot.
Those are big numbers.
As of yesterday, I'm going, where were you, you dummy, for the last year and a half, 2 years, and you were just talking about nothing but, you know, you should not be a distracted driver and so forth. 16,000 innocent, if you bring it down to absolute minimum, that's 16,000 people. Can you imagine? I don't think I can live life if I lose my wife. Especially to somebody that was drunk or somebody that's narcissistic, you know, that, no, I can text while I'm driving, I can read while I'm driving, I can eat while I'm driving, I can call. The other thing that I will tell you, it's the funniest part. Then the government goes, okay, states, well, why don't you come up with some rules and regulations in order to reduce the accidents on the roads? And sometimes I go on websites or tweeting or I see at the police department, they go, here's a policeman or a chief or whatever it is that says, please don't be a distracted driver. What's please? To be honest, this is when I get a little upset about this much freedom in this country. You cannot have this much freedom in this country. You cannot just kill people and somebody's going, oh, please don't do it. There's no such thing. So we talked about the fact that there are some rights that you get because as you grow older, and yet this is the only right that is given to you if you obey some rules. And then when we obey those rules, can you imagine there will be only, 8,000 deaths a year in the United States?
Right.
If everybody was driving with the rules and regulations?
Well, and I'll take it one step further. I don't think driving is a right. It's a privilege.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have heard that often. I go along with that. It is, you earn the right to drive, to be honest. It is a privilege by, I don't know by whom. The government doesn't give you the privilege to drive before you obey exactly what the government tells you. So therefore, a privilege, of course, we're privileged that we have the money to buy a car in this country and be able to drive. But the right is still earned by you by obeying the government. So I'm going to try to digest the 16 or 32,000 deaths based on the government organization telling me that only 8,000 people will die and 32,000 people. Imagine the money. Imagine billions and billions and billions. That, here's one thing. In 55 years, I have been very, very lucky. I have not gotten one ding driving in my entire life in the United States. And I have driven millions of miles because I've gone up and down the country more times than most people. I've been lucky. And sometimes I have avoided accidents because I was very, very careful when I was driving. Not very careful. I was just driving. You know, when
paying
I'm driving.
Paying attention.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I pay attention to everything. I look at my right, left. My eyes always going. My wife goes, your eye keeps going all around, just like a beacon. I look in the back, right side, front, in order to make sure that if there's an accident happening in front of me, I try to avoid me getting involved in it and or causing an accident. So maybe 2-3 times in my entire years, I have avoided accidents or gotten away from accidents. And I've been quite lucky as well. But I think I kind of give it to the fact that I have made sure that when I get into the car, I go from one place to the other. That's all I do. Getting into the car and coming here was the only job I had this morning. Not calling you halfway and say, hey, Mark, I'm about 10 miles away from here or 5 miles, or calling my wife and say, okay, I just left the house. Or the other day I read it, such a sad thing. As a matter of fact, if you go on YouTube and put highway accidents, there are hundreds and maybe thousands of videos, people with disfigured faces and so forth. They say, look at me, what happened? I was texting, I was calling and so forth. But none of them make any effect on anybody because we still live in a bubble. And how do we, I mean, in this noisy world, when you get up in the morning, by the time you watch CNN and NBC and CBS and this and that and 50 other stations, you go, I don't think I should leave at home because all the things that are happening in this world, but it's all for, anyway, I don't want to go there. So a beautiful lady, 32 years old, 4 kids, walks into the grocery store and texts the kids that I'm coming home and I got the macaroni and we're going to have macaroni and cheese tonight. And halfway, she forgets to tell them to turn the oven on. And then, of course, she's texting to tell the kids to turn the oven on. She never makes it home. Until you get to your destination, nothing will happen. So I don't know how to end the conversation except the fact that I have the right to be on the roads with the people that drive like me. And I'm not a better driver or a worse driver. The only thing I do is follow the rules. I get into the car to go from one place to the other.
Yeah.
If you do it, and you don't, anyway, you know you don't have the right. I don't have the right to kill another person. You don't have the right to kill another person.
No, exactly. And like you said, being self-serving too. Like your texting, it's self-serving. It's not helping anybody else.
Of course.
Yeah.
You do not have the right to do anything else.
Yeah.
And I keep saying this over and over and over. But again, am I optimistic? No. That's the reality. If 5 million kids on Sunday scream their heads off all over the world, as a matter of fact, and you and I know that what it will happen, even if something happens, it will be such a minuscule thing. But I will tell the government is that when somebody breaches, you know, I have some answers, as a matter of fact, when we have another chance to sit down and talk about, we all talk about situations and never come up with an answer. And even if we come up with an answer, most of the time, to make it into a reality, probably it's a very difficult situation.
Yeah.
I understand because of all the rights and everybody has their own agenda and so forth, but this is not my agenda. My agenda is I want to go from one place to another in my car, safely. And once I get there, I can call Mark, I can call my wife, I can call this and that. And I have one story that I got to tell you. Sometimes I tell people, really and truly, if you really, and I'm sure me and a million other people have said, okay, if you've got a text and if you want to read and you know that it's very important, pull to the side of the road and do it. We all preach that. You know how many of us will do? Maybe 1.5. I am one. And the other. So I do. And most of the time, you know, my phone is in the back and I do not pay attention to it. But if something happens and if I'm going to be on a trip of about an hour or something like that, I will always stop in order to refresh myself anyway, you know. And I have a couple of weights in my car, 15 pounders. What I do is if I'm going to go from here to New York, which I did quite often until about a year or so ago, every 100 miles I stop, take those weights, walk around my car a couple of times and get back into my car. I am awake more than 10 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every 100 miles. Meantime, I exercise also.
Yeah. So what do you think your goal is with Americans Against Distracted Driving?
If you go on it right now, there are 3 buttons on our Facebook. It's very simple. I would like to add the fourth one is when you send us the 8-second video and pledge not to be a distracted driver, not pledge, but say, okay, let's say pledge. And then you send $5.01 because and let me go backwards for 1 second. We go to speeches. We even go to church and the priest is talking about God and not sinning and so forth. And as soon as we come out, basically we forgot. We needed something to remind us. That's where the decal came into play. Okay. It sits at the left-hand corner of your windshield. And every time you come into the car, you will see, I've got it on my car right now. I have Sheriff's and Dave Dowling's decals. And every time I get into my car, it has become a second nature. I see it. I go, okay, I'm not supposed to be a distracted driver. So two things I would like to happen. Number one, people go on a website and see that there are 8 to 10 second videos of dozens and dozens of people. I have not been able to upload maybe another 100 that I have because the gentleman that uploads for me, he is an accountant and he does not have time right now. And I go along with that. We'll upload it. And it merely, most of them talk about, some of them go, I swear I'll never be a distracted driver. I swear on my cell phone I will never be a distracted driver. Another one will say, hey man, don't be a distracted driver. And then one day I go to myself, you know what? When I go to the gym, I pass in front of a cemetery and I look over there and I go, I wonder how many of them are there permanently because somebody killed them. So I took a selfie and I took the selfie and the cemetery is in the back. And I go, hey guys, I just sweat my behind for an hour and a half at the gym and I'm all sweaty and I don't want to wind up over there before my time. So please don't be a distracted driver. So those are the only messages I'm looking for. So 5 million people marched the other day, Sunday. What I like to do is have 5 million 8 to 10 second videos so we can upload on our website and then somehow, somewhere, someplace, take that and go to the government and say, okay, you have rules and we follow. And there are rules, there are people that do not follow. Come up with some kind of a punishment that eventually those people will go, man, I cannot do this. Otherwise, they should never be able to drive again. Is that a punishment big enough? Then what I would love to see is get the insurance companies involved. Because I believe when we go backwards and see that the safety belt that we put on or safety... Mm-hmm. Safety belt, right?
Yeah.
When we get into the car, that was a very contentious situation for a number of years. People said, I don't want to wear it. If it's my car, I want
to. Right. And I remember those conversations.
You got it, right?
Yeah.
Who actually lobbied the insurance companies when after it's so hard in order for the government to pass a law that you have to have your seatbelt on? Because the insurance companies all of a sudden, probably by now, they saved $100 billion?
Yeah, I see. I didn't know that they were behind that.
Why do you think? Who else is going to be behind it?
No, I get it. Yeah.
Who else?
Yeah.
Right now, how do you get in the car insurance, by the way?
How do you get car insurance?
Yeah. This is how you get it. I think so. Anyway, yeah. I got my driver's license. And I go to an insurance company and say, I've got a car and I want to buy insurance.
Yeah.
The first question they ask you is, do you have a valid driver's license?
Okay.
The valid driver's license means that I went, took the test, passed, and there were laws and rules and regulations I followed. That's how I got my driver's license. I come to the insurance company. Insurance company gives me, okay, you have a valid driver's license? Yes. So I give it to them and they give me insurance. All of a sudden, I go out and I have an accident while I was texting while driving. Insurance company turns around and probably costs them hundreds of thousands of dollars, one death, by the time they take care of this and that and that and that. And they'll take care of it. Why does the insurance company eventually, I'm hoping, as a matter of fact, I mentioned this to an insurance company agent, which turned out to be a person that I met. And I go, if I create an accident while I was not following the government's rules and regulations, and you gave me an insurance because you knew that I got my license based on that, and yet I did something which is against the government rules and regulations, it's an infraction. That means I broke my contract with the government. Why don't you void the contract and say to the person, I'm not going to pay you. When you came to me, let's take this kind of a rule and regulations. And then if you do not want to go that far, it will take us another 50 years probably. But I have another idea. So why don't we have two types of insurances. Another thing is, I was talking to one of the kids and I go, you're 17 years old, by the way, you're just getting a driver's license. My wife's nephew, Patrick, the cool quarterback, he won everything last year. It was so cool. And we used to go all the games. And I said to Patrick, what happened to your parents' insurance? He goes, went straight up. I said, well, did you get into an accident yet? He said, no. I said, well, I thought this country, you are not guilty until you're proven guilty. Why would the insurance company raise your parents' insurance because you just got your driver's? Well, based on blah, 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 I'm supposed to come up with an accident. Okay, I go to an insurance company and I say, if I was 17 years old, you know what? I want an insurance that it will say on it, if I ever got involved in an accident, against all the rules and regulations that I agreed with the government, then don't pay. So give me an insurance. Give me an opportunity to buy the insurance based on what I want to do. Why am I guilty? So if you get into an accident, you and your father will sit down and say, your father trusts you, and I know, Patrick, I trust you. I would back you up, and you would get an insurance where it does not have anything to do paying to another person if you were texting or driving, but it should be covered if it was a natural cause of accident. That's one thing. So the kids go, yeah, man, I love that. Well, I don't think insurance companies are going to go for that. The government, if when I go to take a test, I would love for the instructor to tell me, you know what, we have two different tests. One, you just follow exact rules that I tell you. And the other one, we have a machine inside where the government has spent hundreds of millions of dollars of your money and tested and tested and tested and said, you know what, if you're texting, you're going to cause an accident. So we have a proof that anything else that we do, unless besides what the government tells us, it's going to cause an accident. So you can take that test, and on it, we will put down is the fact that, you know, you took the test that when you were texting, you were able to pass. So you're one of those ingenious people that you know how to do it. So when you go and buy insurance, you tell the company, you know what? I know how to text while I'm driving. So I want my insurance to be less. I mean, those are all funny situations, Mark. Yeah. And every single one of them is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you one more thing is, the point I'm trying to make is that I do not have a chance or a choice to drive on a road where people like me are driving. I do not have that chance or a choice. A few years ago, we used to all smoke in an airplane. Right now, we cannot smoke in an airplane. The reason they were able to pass that law is the fact that when I'm in an airplane for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, I do not have a chance or a choice to avoid your smoke. So the government said, you know what? As long as people do not have a chance or a choice to go away from your smoke, and that smoke in 42 years might cause you a cancer, then we're going to tell everybody you cannot smoke. Now, you cannot smoke in some bars. I have a chance or a choice to go to the bar that they smoke or to a bar that they don't smoke.
Sure.
That's all I'm attempting to say is that we American drivers, and there are 240 million commuters every single day on American roads. And most of those people, most of those 20% of those people do not have the chance or the choice to choose a road that the 80% is not on it. Now, you know what? If there were roads that 80% can drive on, they can go and kill themselves and do whatever they want to do. It's none of my business.
Right.
I cannot tell you what to do, Mark.
Yeah.
The only thing I can tell you is that the road that I cannot get away from, I ask you not to, or not ask you, but I demand. And I want the government to help me to make the demand to that person. Yeah. So that it comes on, you know, in any other law, gun laws and other laws, there are always pros and cons. There is no pro and con to this thing. You take your driver's license because you obey the rules and the regulations of the government. So why do you deviate from it? By the way, if you get on Route 80, or not Interstate 80, I used to live in New Jersey. It started like about a half a mile away from my house. And you can drive all the way to California. You cross about 16 different states, you know? Every single state has their own laws about handheld. Handheld what? Yeah. There is no, how can you take an infraction that did not exist and then come up with regulations for that infraction? If that infraction is going to happen, then put it into the test. Simple.
Yeah.
I do not understand. And then, by the way, forget the 80. If you get on 94, as soon as you see the welcome sign to Illinois, you will be welcome to different laws that are different than Indiana.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you're driving? Oh, I just went into Illinois. Why confuse this? The simplest situation in this world, the simplest. I don't mind if the government gives, you know, during the years there was a constitution and eventually there are amendments to constitution. Do an amendment, change the tests, written tests, as well as driving tests. I don't have a problem with that because nothing I can do about it. And if somebody said, well, it's a societal problem, it is. I know. But let the government, and the government with $1 billion, just one agency with $1 billion sits there and tells me that 80% of them are happening because people did not follow their rules and regulations and nothing happens. So I don't have a problem if the government says, okay, from now on, when you take a test, you're going to do texting while driving, one portion of your test. Another one, you're going to call your wife and scream and yell the fact that she spent too much money last week. And then call your girlfriend and whatever it is. What I was going to tell you a little while ago is, let me bring it right now. My mind goes much faster than my my mouth. I
yeah.
really apologize. So one day I was in Rensselaer, whatever. And there's a Route 2 that crosses 65.
Yeah.
As I was coming there, and just before, I heard my telephone, blah, blah, blah. I go, okay, whatever. Meantime, I was at my accountant's place, which is over there. And I said, there might be something. Maybe my wife is looking for something. So right across, there's a sheriff's office, I think, right there at the core at 2 and 65.
Yep.
Anyway.
State police.
You got it, state police. I wish I knew. So there's an indentation over there into the road. I went right into the indentation, which is far, far away from the two-lane highway. And it was a summer day, and I put the windows down, and I'm checking my emails and my texts and so forth, and I'm looking at it. And all of a sudden, this voice goes, "Can I help you?" His head was already into the car, and I hit the ceiling. I was so engrossed in my telephone, looking at my emails and the voicemail and so forth and so on, that I did not even see that the state police came, parked behind me, got out of his car, came to the right, stuck his head into the window, and talked to me. I am so engrossed. So if I'm that engrossed that I did not see all of that, can you imagine how can you avoid a freaking accident when you're on the highway? He said, "Can I help you?" I go, "No, officer, I'm trying to look at my emails and so on." He said, "Well, I saw your flashers on," which I appreciate the fact that you did put it on, "and I thought maybe you might need a help." I said, "No, I was doing, but I apologize for being so engrossed." He said, "I apologize for having your hit your head," because as I stopped, I took my seatbelt off and I literally jumped because his head was like about 2 feet away from my face and his voice. So those are the little things that kind of make me go forward and realize that how important it is. It's an experience that I had, which I never had it before, where I am so engrossed. Now I prove it to myself is that, hey, dummy, you better not.
Right.
There's no way you can do, because look at it, he stopped and so forth. So anyway.
And I think the big thing too is, and you've mentioned it a few times, but it's not just texting. It's eating or smoking or drinking or putting your lipstick on, or there's all kinds of things that can be considered distractive driving. It's
Mark,
just not texting.
Anything that we do, you saw my card, it said anything that you do not do while you're taking your driver's test is distracted driving. Yeah. Anything. As a matter of fact, anything that you do and you did not do while you were taking your driver's test, which is the opposite, and you do while you're driving, that is, I hate the word distracted driving. It doesn't have anything to do with it. I call it a killing driving. I call it a destructive driving. Intentional distracted driving is an intentionally destructive driving.
Yeah.
And I call them killers. If you go on my website and you go on our Facebook, you would see some of the billboards that I have created. I know a little bit about that much. So I go, they're killers. 80% of them are the ones that create the accidents.
Yeah.
So there will be 8,000 people killed only and 32,000 die, you creating the accident or causing the accident and killing somebody else. So let me go back and absolutely finalize. I've got a diarrhea of the mouth. This is what I want to establish, is have 5 or 10 million people send 8-second video. And with the video, just voice their opinion about not wanting to die on the highways, on the roads. And we take all of that and go to the government and say, help us. There are no roads that I can drive on. So therefore, please help us not to die, 32,000 of them on the highways. The other thing I would like to do is when they send that 8-second video, they will have the opportunity. There will be a fourth place where it says witness. Click on the witness and it will open a page with number of organizations that are, I call them worthy organizations. And you click on their decal and it opens their direct donate page, which we had it number of times, as a matter of fact, in the SED as well as in the ad. I had to take it out. I have them ready already. But at the end, people said, well, I do not know. If I click on No Kids Hungry, are they going to send me a decal? I go, no, they have not approved it yet. Because on the decal also, I can send you the pictures. You can see it on the decal on that page. On every decal, we said, not approved yet. So we had 8 to start with. And I had 8 to start with. And then I created the decals. I have it with me. I'll leave some of them with you. So they'll give $5.01 to that organization. The organization will get the name and the address and the phone number of the person. And in turn, they have already printed their decals. It comes to about 8 to 9 cents a decal. Okay. So you get $5.01. You spend 49 cents to mail an 11 cent decal. So it's 60 cents. 60 cents minus $5.01. You make $4.50. 10 million people, that would be $40 million, right? Meantime, we got 10 million people driving on American roads with a decal to the left on the corner, reminding them every single morning. It is the simplest way of getting everybody on the same page. Nothing more, nothing less. Give us an 8-second, 10-second video, go to the witness page button, click on it. It opens with few organizations. Click on one of the organizations that you'd like to give the $5.01. Or as a matter of fact, I tell them, you want to give $6.01? It's cool. $10.01, by all means. And this is not, you don't have to pour a cold water over your head, you know. You do not have to do anything except save your behind and save somebody else's behind. Mm-hmm. So if you're a non-distracted driver, if you're a good driver following the rules and regulations of the government, and if I do the same thing, all of a sudden you and I are on the same road, we're both safe, at least 80% safe.
Yeah.
20% might happen, but 80% safe. So that's what I'm looking for, an 8-second video to come to us so we can take that, go to the government and say, look at all those voices. Everybody's pleading with you to come up with some ways of telling those 80% of the people that you cannot do it. And if you do it, this is the punishment, not a slap on the hand as we do it right now. Mark, you cannot kill somebody and get away from it. And killing it intentionally. I don't understand. How can you kill people? There was, about 4 or 5 months ago in Illinois, there was a lady with three daughters, and she was pregnant, and this guy did not stop it. You remember that?
Yep.
How can you be the husband and not go crazy?
Yeah.
This woman died and went away. She did not lose her life. She died and went away. She doesn't exist anymore. Those kids, 8 and 6 and 4 years old, they will never, ever, 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 ever happen again in this world. They will never live life. And the unborn, they're gone. And there were like little flowers and the balloons and so forth. What cares? Who cares? They died and went away. And probably that guy will come up and drive the car in another 2 or 3 years. And if you look at their background, oh, by the way, there was one last night in Illinois, and they found that she was driving with a suspended license.
Yeah.
How can we tolerate?
Right.
Mark,
yeah, I agree.
And nobody, you know what? You and I live here. Probably I will go to my work. You will go to your work. Some of this conversation is recorded, fortunately. And people will listen to it. They go, okay, whatever, John.
Right.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
It's insanity. I don't have the choice and the chance to be on another road than those 80% of the people. That's all it comes down to.
And I think it's something that going to where the kids are learning, I think that's a huge part of it, because I like what you said, that anything that you didn't do to get your license, you shouldn't be doing.
Simple.
On a, yeah, it is. It
that's
is.
That's on
very
our
simple.
Facebook, by the way.
Yeah.
No, on our website, when you open it, that's all it says. Anything that you do that you did not do while you were taking your driver's test is distracted driving. You know, I hate the word distracted driving because it comes out with like, and then you know what else they do? the government agencies. Well, 14% died because of drunk driving. 22%. Who cares? 22%, 40%, 18%. They got killed because somebody did not pay attention to what they were doing. And they were doing something against what they were supposed to do. Who cares? They quantify, they qualify. And again, when it comes down to is the fact that if there's an infraction, now we come up with a rule and regulation against that infraction, which was not supposed to be anyway, which is not in my license. When I took my driver's license, that infraction was not in it. If you believe as a government that that is important enough, then put it into the freaking test. Add it into the test.
Yeah.
And say to the person, okay, man, are you going to text him while driving? Sir, I know how to do it and I'm going to do it. So therefore, give me the test that includes texting and driving or eating or drinking or drunk or sleepy. Or as a matter of fact, when we go on, we take a test, I want to go 80 miles per hour at a 40-mile zone. I want to show it to you that I can do it. Add those into your sanitized test. I don't have a problem with it. And then give that guy, go, okay, he passed. And then when he goes to the insurance company, he goes to the insurance company and say, by the way, I have a valid driver's license and I can text and drive. Okay, then give me an insurance. One more thing. If you want to buy a life insurance right now, the first question they ask you, do you smoke or not? If you smoke, your rate is higher.
You go into a different category. Yeah.
If everything that we do that it's not in our driving test is another category.
Yeah.
And yet it is not looked at it that way.
Right.
We go, oh, okay, how many cigarettes do you smoke a day? 10. Oh, I think then your rate is less. You freaking smoke or not. Your inside is getting... And then I saw a sign, it said between 7 and 9, you cannot text, or you cannot use your cell phone, and 4 to 6. I have it on my website, as a matter of fact, in one of my tweets. I go, what does that mean? I'm not supposed to use my cell phone in the first place. How do you give me permission to do it between 7 and 9 and 4 to 6 on that particular road? Are you insane?
That's a different sign. I've never seen that sign.
I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you. 7 to 9 and 4 to 6. You cannot use That's your funny. Cell phone. I'd love to see a red light saying, well, if you burp 3 times and say Hail Mary 5 times, you can go through. There's no such thing. Well, every first Wednesday afternoon at 4:30, if you're 6'4", you can go through the red light. There are no inclusions, exclusions for the red light. It's a red light, you stop. It's a stop sign, you're supposed to stop. We do it, we don't do it. That's a different story. But people like me stop. Right. A person that is texting, talking, thinking. You know, another thing I hate are the billboards and the digital billboards. Go to 30 and Main Street.
41 and Main?
30 and Main Street.
Yeah, well, it's Taft right there.
Okay, yeah. Right then and there, there's a billboard. The other day, I said, okay, let me make a test to myself. I'm looking at it. Every 15, 30 seconds changing, and the light there is a little bit longer. And some of the ads on that digital billboard, you can write a book. You can write chapters. They're so long. There's so minute little details. And I'm at the red light. I'm supposed to be looking at it because not too many people walk there. So that's for the drivers, right?
Right.
Let me get my paper and then let me see what is.
And then the light turns green.
And the light turns green. I go, oh, my God. I like that information. Why do we even have that? You know, so on the roads, on the highways, we got, if you drive from here to the airport on 94 or 294, actually, there will be billboard after billboard after billboard. Who looks at, you're going 70 miles per hour. If you go any less than that, by the way, everybody will be jumping all over you. So you're supposed to be reading those billboards? Are you kidding me? You know, I had billboards downtown Chicago a number of years ago when I had my products and at Carson's and Marshall Fields. But there were lights after light after light after light. You're driving. And then my billboard had only my name on it and a few of my watches. That was cool. People saw, oh, that watch, John Zaboyan. I go to the Marshall Fields and it's right there. There are chapters written on billboards. So there are so many other things that the government eventually, probably billboard companies right now, the digital billboard companies will come to shoot me or something. But anyway, that's something else. The only thing I want to do is people go on AAADD.org. By the way, it's not an organization nor a company. When you open our Facebook, my Facebook or the organization's Facebook, it says it's not an organization, it's not a company, it's nothing. I had to end it with an ORG in order to be able to get AAAD.org. It's nothing. I would like to make it an organization, not to ask people for money, but I know how to earn money for organizations with products. I can create, I have created products many, many years for many, many different organizations. So organizations are cool. Most of the time, the public supports them. But if you go on larger organizations, you will see that they've got a page of selling products. But those products are not sold by the organizations. They're companies that they go to the organization, get the rights, and do it. I would love to do it for the organization, by the organization, so they can earn money. And with products that people would actually appreciate to have. But that's something else. So in our case, it's nothing more than 8 seconds. Tell the people that please don't be a distracted driver. Then hopefully one of the larger organizations will give us, well, hopefully I will find a smaller organization run in the Northwest Indiana area and make their decal and put it on our website. You go over there, you click on it, you give them $5.01. They'll send you the decal. You put it on the car and we'll earn money for you absolutely free. It's all yours. It doesn't go from one pocket to another pocket to another. I'm a jealous person. I'm a businessman. If I've got a dollar in my pocket, if I'm going to spend it in order to make something out of it, I do not give it to different people until it's like pouring a glass of water from one glass to another glass to another glass to another glass. Eventually, you're going to lose some. So where I grew up, we took care of each other right then and there. We did not give it to somebody else to give it to somebody else to give it to somebody else. So eventually, we'll come back to my place and then I will benefit. But those are different things we can talk about in the future. But right now, that's all I want to do is raise $5.01. And when you're paying $5.01, you have to put your name, address, and phone number. The company sends. Can you imagine you got 1 million cars with a little decal at the corner? It says, "No kids hungry." Not only I see every single morning the fact that I'm not supposed to drive any other way except the way I drove, but I see also "No kids hungry." What a perfect. I park my car. People are passing next to my car. I see "No kids hungry."
Yeah.
It is the most visual advertising and visual, permanent visual advertising possible. So it's win, 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 win situation for everybody.
Yeah. Especially all the lives that you'll save.
Imagine 80% of the accidents that happen are caused and they will be saved. So 40,000 minus 80%, you've got only 8,000 lives that unfortunately are part of the fabric of the driving.
Right.
I can understand, I can accept that, but not the 32,000 that do not have a choice, a chance to get away from those 80%.
Right. So just to wrap up again, AAADD.org.
Yep.
Awesome.
It's not an organization. It's not a company. It's just a name that I came up with. So what I would like to do one day is add the, instead of Americans against all distracted driving, it's intentionally destructive driving. I was almost going to, as a matter of fact, I went and registered all of those the other day as well. And I go, you know what? I'm going to change it to intentionally distracted, destructive driving. That probably encompasses exactly what is happening on the roads than just distracted driving. And I hate the word distracted driving. It doesn't have anything to do with distracting or not being distracted. Just follow the rules that you told the government you will follow, and they gave you your driver's license. Simple.
That's a good way to end.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John.
Thanks
for coming in.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And I apologize when I went, there's a word for it, intangibles.
Oh, the
I went all over the place.
That's all right.
I apologize.
That's all right.
There is so much to talk about, but there are ways to circumvent some of the, that's not all of them, unfortunately, but some of them, if we all get together and say, and face it and do something about it.
Very good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.